Welcome to Career Tools. This is Sarah.
And I'm Mark.
Today's podcast, The Basics of Calendar Management, Part 1 of 2.
This cast answers these questions. How do I make more time for my family? How do I leave work on time? And what should I do at lunch? That sounds good, actually.
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. The Manager Tools Resume Workbook, available exclusively to our licensees. Purchase any of our licenses and unlock your career potential with our professional resume workbook. This comprehensive guidance offers step-by-step instructions, expert tips, and actionable strategies to make your resume stand out. Whether you're entering the job market for the very first time or are aiming for a career change, our workbook is your key to resume optimization and career advancement. Become a licensee today by finding us online at manager-tools.com/licenses. Today, we're talking about the basics of calendar management on Career Tools.
Yes.
This is a classic re-record. Again, from the Career Tools Hall of Fame. I think originally this one went out in 2007 or 8.
Yeah.
Cannot remember. And because we're starting a new year, 2026, here we are. This is just a perfect topic to begin our new year.
Yeah. And look, I've spent a lot of time over the last 30 years talking to executives and managers about their calendars. And calendars are incredibly powerful, used brilliantly at the top of the organization, and absolutely treated like crap at the bottom of the organization. When I engage with a new executive, typically, not always, but typically what I do is I ask, okay, send me your calendar. Okay, and I ask it to be printed out one page per day so I can see everything on their calendar. I ask for 5 to 6 weeks, so, you know, 25, 30 days, something like that. And then I ask them, okay, what are your priorities? And in my entire time coaching executives, I've only had one executive whose calendar matched clearly and directly his or her priorities. Everyone else was just, their calendar was meetings.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it was. It is the single biggest efficiency/productivity mistake that managers make and individual contributors make too, is this idea that your calendar is where your meetings are. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And if you're a thinking manager, you're not asking why, you're asking, what can I do to avoid that? In other words, I have certain things I have to get done. Yes, there's going to be 30% of my calendar that is not necessarily directly related to that. I get that. But the rest of that time, I am going to fight really hard to have my priorities show on my calendar. And again, not just my meetings. If all you do is put your meetings on your calendar, what will end up happening is you will go to your meetings. And in the in-between time, you will think that is downtime and you won't have a clear path, a yellow brick road, if you will, to get to the Emerald City of the successful goals, right?
Yeah, worse yet, they'll think of it as email time, that time between meetings.
We're going to talk about email here too.
Oh, we are.
Yeah. Yeah. And we actually have made the mistake that everybody else makes, that we get infected by the stupidity of people talking about time management. Folks, you can't manage time. Time doesn't need you to manage it. Time spits on us and keeps right on going long after we're dead. Okay? You are not managing your time. You're managing your priorities. And whatever you do day to day are your priorities. So therefore, to your point, Sarah, you know what the biggest priority is of every professional, virtually every professional, is email.
Email. According to what people actually spend their time doing, that would suggest it's email.
Yeah. If you go home and all you do is work when you're at home, you don't get to say, I put my family first, because that's not family stuff, which we'll talk about as well.
Yeah, that's exactly. And that's one reason that we love getting things done, right?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
David Allen, great book, classic book. Please read it if you've not. It talks about this concept, the idea of managing our work, wrestling with priorities, moving through an inbox at a good pace, rather than trying to do everything you can to eke out more hours, which, folks, you can't. Eking out more hours, the creation of time, is far outside of your skill set. So how do we make best of the time we've got?
Look, because of electronic calendars, Okay. Folks, I've never said this before, but I've been thinking it for years. This is a great redo of this cast to talk about it. Because of electronic calendars and email, okay, people suddenly discovered that they were overwhelmed because they're incredibly inefficient, and they discovered they couldn't get everything done and still put their family first. And frankly, most people weren't doing that either. And so they started multitasking. That's it, literally. And the single biggest scourge on individual productivity is multitasking. I mean, you can do two things at once if it's chewing gum and tying your shoes at the same time, things that you don't have to think about doing. But multitasking is for idiots. Well, in fact, we're not actually multitasking. We're task switching very rapidly. And unfortunately, your brain has a processing center that holds information relative to your task in it to make you good at that task. And when you switch tasks, it has to dump that memory and put in new memory, and it makes you incredibly slow. And
really, we're just doing two things poorly. That's what we're doing. Two things simultaneously, yeah, and both doing them poorly. So, yes.
And Peter Drucker, who's my hero, was way ahead of everybody else here. I mean, this is 70 years ago. The second chapter of The Effective Executive was Know Thy Time. And he suggests you start with a survey of how we spend our time and then make sure that the right things are being done when we're working. I tell the story all the time of managers to me, when I talk to them, look like they're spinning plates on a stage in a vaudeville act. And they have 15 plates and they get pretty good at it, and then they want 18 plates. And the reason why is because they think all 15 of those things are priorities. It's not so. You can't have a priority list with more than 3 or 4, and in some cases, 5. I can't remember who it was. Well, it was Drucker who made a joke and said, most chief executives can handle one thing. He said he had met a few who could handle 2 things at the same time, meaning 2 significant priorities. And then he said, 3 is a circus. That's the only time he's ever made the joke.
That's funny. And folks, no, today we are really here to talk about calendaring. We're not here to talk about the priorities, the measuring of one's time. And we have an entire podcast on that topic. We recently re-recorded another Career Tools Hall of Fame podcast. It's called Time Priority Management. So today's podcast is not about the discerning of these priorities and the measuring of the time spent on priorities. If you've not heard Time Priority Management, we recommend before you listen to today's cast, you go back and you listen to that one. Not that you couldn't implement many of the things we learned today, but you're going to find yourself wanting, and that's where you'll find it. So go back, listen to that one. Instead, today we're going to talk about the week of an effective executive.
Okay. So here's our outline. First, family first, folks. It's part of your calendar. So it's part of your life. It's a part of your calendar. It's your number one priority. So it goes in your calendar first. Number two, schedule time for email. Number three, nail down your strategic objectives. Put time on your calendar for that. Block out your time for your one-on-ones. You don't need to do that for feedback or coaching or delegation, but you do need to do it for one-on-ones. If you don't schedule one-on-ones, it's like not scheduling retiring. It won't happen. And then lastly, number five, network building lunches.
All right. So we're going to start with the most important priority. It is your family. Family first. Folks, any self-respecting Manager Tools community member has got to know that family first is going to be the first thing that we talk about. We've said it thousands of times in thousands of different ways. In fact, over the holiday break, we released, as we do every single year, one of our Hall of Fame podcasts. It is called Work-Life Balance, the Yellow Peanut M&M Analogy. We release it every year at the holiday break. And essentially, the podcast, if you've not heard it, go back and listen to it, but talks about the fact that there is no such thing as balancing your work life and your family life. One of these two things is more important than the other. It is your family. Trying to get those two things into balance at all times, when things are going to come up for your family, things are going to come up for work, is going to cause you to always fail. Just when you're planning, plan first the things that are most important. And then when things come up in the other part of your life, work in this instance, then it won't be so difficult. It won't be so hard on your family when you have to choose that because you've chosen your family most of the time.
Yellow peanut M&M. When people in our community know that I'm the one that writes all the podcasts, and I get people coming up to me all the time saying, this is my favorite. I feel like I'm, for a brief moment in time, I'm Taylor Swift, and they're telling me what their favorite song is. And almost nobody mentions the Trinity One-on-One's Feedback Coach Delegation because, yeah, I get that. That's like my Wheaties. That's my meat and potatoes, the things that I, that's my vegetables that I have to eat to stay healthy. But in terms of other casts, people really like professional subordination. What are the other ones they mention? Assume positive intent.
Yes, that one was my, that's my favorite. Always has been, always will be.
Yeah, mine is Race Don't Chase. And Yellow Peanut M&M is in the top five. People are just like, oh my gosh, I never thought of that way. And frankly, Yellow Peanut M&M relative family and super important. But we think that when the vast majority of managers and professionals think about time and priority management, their first thought, their first tool, their first thing is more time at the office, more time spent working at home, more multitasking, more email late at night. And the fact is, if you go to the Juggling Koan podcast, again, that's one of people's in the top 10, usually, because it's very unusual. It was a lot of fun. It was very long. More is not the answer, folks. Okay. You only get a limited amount of time on earth. More work is not the answer.
Absolutely. So before we go into or get more deeply into family first as a concept, let's first be clear about what we're doing or what the purpose of today's podcast is. We've observed many, many executives, those who effectively manage their priorities in their limited time, and those that try everything under the sun and never get there and are always distracted, always get some stuff done, but not the big stuff done. And we've learned that while there is value in thinking about each day, thinking about managing your priorities a week at a time is the most effective way to stay strategic and therefore effective.
Yeah. So people think daily and it's a problem. Managers think in days, but they end up trying to schedule too tightly and things break down once they start to not follow their own calendar, but also because people's calendars are fluid. And people say, oh, I can't put something on my calendar, Mark. It's going to get trumped. No, we have a podcast called Calendar Soup, where we talk about the fact that the things you put on your calendar are the things that you're going to do. Now, most people immediately default to meetings, which is wrong, but you put things, those things on your calendar, and it's a soup for the week. And when you're making soup, everything goes in the pot. And everything moves relative to each other, but it still stays in the pot. And that's your week, is the pot. And you can move stuff all around. And the key is, be careful about adding more stuff unless it's a very high priority, if it's bumping off something that you also think is a high priority. And you want to keep it in this week, if at all possible, because the cadence of most work processes, in fact, are weeks. Now, there are people who tell me when I say that, Sarah, oh, no, it's days and hours and so on. I'm like, okay, there are certain jobs that are that way, but the vast majority of professional work in large organizations is weekly. We have deadlines weekly and so on. Yes, you should have deliverables rather than tasks. And yes, those deliverables should have actual dates and times on them. But typically, projects and work status updates on a series of work deliverables that go into a project or a basket of whatever or an area of interest, those things are talked about every week. And so if you think you can manage your calendars monthly, you're always going to be bitten each week. On the other hand, if you try to do it daily, you're too micro in your view, and you can't see what's happening during the week, and you end up working, you basically work long hours and you burn yourself out. The day is too far from the month. You can't keep everything in your head well enough. If you're working way down in the weeds in a day, you have to trust that your week is going to get you where you need to go. And if you put 4 weeks together, the month will take care of itself.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So folks, all that to say, the week is the measure of time that most effective executives use to connect their daily tasks and efforts with strategic priorities. So, weekly. Now, let's get back to the family first piece. So, in the interest of bluff or bottom line up front, here's our recommendation. When you're looking at your calendar, schedule time with your family first.
Yes. It's that simple.
Yeah, exactly. Your family's more important than work. Rather than applying the concept of giving the right amount of time to the right priorities only at work, first let's apply the principle to the boundary between work and family. When we're talking to groups, when we're presenting this stuff or our content on site and at our public events, we ask groups that we're working with, how many of them value family more than work? And ask them to raise your hands if you value family more than you value work. And everyone raises their hand. But folks, behaviors are far more believable than what people say they feel or believe, which unfortunately means that what is actually believable is that family takes second place to work. Because everyone's calendars suggest that work is far more important. Work starts to creep into our evening lives. Too many managers and executives live as if their family comes second because they're always willing to take time away from their family by working longer hours or doing email late or constantly checking on emails and voicemails. There's a relationship drag that is little by little. It's not a big event, but over the course of time, if those are the types of activities you are causing your family to have to deal with, put up with, it suggests to them that they are your second priority.
Yeah. And I'll go a step further. I'm going to take a little aside here. People are often talking to us. And in fact, I think people are hearing this right now and thinking, oh, they're talking about work-life balance. No, we are not. We at Manager Tools, at Career Tools, and Executive Tools do not talk about work-life balance because there is no such thing is work-life balance. It is the wrong question to a very important concept, and it has screwed up people for decades. Okay. And by the way, work-life balance didn't exist 50 years ago because there was generally one person working in a home, and that person worked, and generally because of the lack of digital technologies, they worked only at work. Okay. And so there was no blurring of the lines. But the problem with work-life balance is really simple. It implies that the two should be in balance. And that's where the yellow peanut and M&M analogy comes in. And I'm getting tired of, oh yeah, work-life balance. No, it's not a balance. Because in balance, if you choose A, you're not choosing B. And so you feel guilty when you're at work about not being at home, and you feel guilty at home about not being at work. This is not how you do it. You decide what your priority is, and then you live that priority. So you put your family on your calendar first. You've got to get that first priority reflected in your calendar. Now, look, we're not going to suggest that everyone immediately stop checking email in the evening. We think it's a good idea, and I rarely check email in the evening. But it's not going to work for a lot of you, and you won't do it. And frankly, we don't see that as the problem anyway. What we are going to recommend is an action that is based on the root cause of that behavior.
Yeah, that's the thing, folks. The reason that so many people are checking their email at night in the evening when they should be watching a movie with their kids, for example, is because they see the entire day as a work day. They think of the work as happening always.
All the time.
Exactly. And so, because work is always happening, they are always working. Now, we're not going to dispute that work is always happening. Yeah, absolutely it is. And speed is a competitive advantage. Yes, definitely. But so are intelligent decisions. So is a happy family life. And so is the creativity that comes from time spent thinking about and doing other things that aren't just working all of the time.
Yeah. And I know you think you're young and so you have the ability to work 18-hour days. Productivity specialists and experts and PhDs will tell you, no, you really don't, by the way. You might as well be doing other things. Your brain is not that good for that long. And the Army learned it. We used to go to out in the field for 5 days at a time, and all the officers would stay up for 24 hours a day, five straight days. By the end, we were making bad decisions because we were tired, and we didn't even know we were making bad decisions.
Yeah, you don't have the brain capacity to be creative anymore.
Yep, exactly. So all of what we're talking about here means that the first rule of effective calendaring is setting a daily stop time every day of the week. You and your spouse agree on it every Sunday. By the way, I haven't said what it is or that it should be the same every day. If you drew that conclusion, you're mistaken, okay? You and your spouse agree on it every Sunday, and you make sure you keep that scheduled task or appointment every day. Your spouse will be understanding enough that he or she doesn't need you home at a particular hour, but you need to leave the office, and there's a reasonable assumption that it takes you 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 7 minutes, 28 minutes, whatever it is, and sometimes traffic. Sometimes something will come up, and that's fine, okay? It is really hard to be sure to be home at a certain hour of the day, although there are exceptions for family issues like picking kids up at daycare and so on. But if you have to be home at a certain time, then suddenly you can't just always leave at the exact same time. You have to leave a little bit of extra bandwidth, a little bit of extra time in there, because there are uncertainties in the process between leaving work and becoming home. And that commitment, that calendared item of leave work, what it does is limit work time, as opposed to what most professionals do, which is to limit family time by leaving the end of the day open. And then making it worse by saying, once everybody's gone today, I will go ahead and get all my work done, when you're literally brain dead at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and I have videos to prove it. And also, that leaving the end of the day open has two negative consequences. It allows us to slide work into the evening. And because we really can't multitask, every moment we spend working in the evening is time not spent with our family. But the second one, when you decide you're going to go home at a certain time, it makes you much more effective and efficient and much more likely to make smart decisions during the day. When we leave the end of our day open, we're much more likely to get sloppy about our work and how we spend those last minutes or hours at work. And we put off stuff that we ought to be doing easier that we could schedule time for. I'm always worried when I see large blocks of unscheduled time on people's calendars. That just means they're going to be sloppy and messy and inefficient and ineffective during that time. And they're the same ones who are then not scheduling when they're going to go home.
Yeah. Well, and folks, we all have an example, or we've all seen this in action for ourselves. Think about yourself in preparation for the holidays. How much work did you get done before you went on your last holiday? Most of us are so productive and effective in those last few days before the holiday because we know there's a bookend. And if we don't get it done before that, it's going to be harder to get it done. It's the same thing. It's the same use of that bookend to make yourself more productive during the time that you actually have.
Yep.
Okay, so folks, this is so simple. Live your statement about family coming first and put their time on your calendar first before anything else fills in the cracks, takes up all the other time. It's going to make for a much richer family life, and it will make you notably better at work. Effective executives that we know who do this are more effective, and simultaneously, they are more happy than other executives who feel like the workday just never seems to end and is creeping into their family time. Also, I would say, the family members of those executives are also happier.
Yeah, the way I like to describe this is, you don't have to choose to go home every day at 5 o'clock. You could say, on 3:30 on Tuesday, I'm picking up the kids from daycare, so my spouse doesn't have to, okay? Because usually my spouse does that for whatever reason, her job or my job or his job is different. That's fine, okay? And then on Thursdays, you may get to work late, because the boss comes in late and tends to stay late and is firing off emails until 7 o'clock at night. You may be that on average, the day is 5 o'clock. And then you look at your calendar and realize, no, that needs to be 5:30 on Monday because I have that 3:30 meeting, which always runs long. That's how you do it. You actually manage it to the 15-minute increment and say, okay, I'm going to come home at this time. And look, if you schedule leaving the office at 5:30 on a Tuesday and your boss comes in and says, hey, I need to see you in my office. She pokes her head in your office and says, I need to see you at 5:30. Hey, look, boss, I was going home then. And if you really need me, I can stay. And let your boss know. If it were me, I'd be like, no, go home. But you know what? Tomorrow morning, first thing, let's spend 15 minutes talking about it, right? I'll check your calendar and send you an invite or something. Or I'll tell my direct to do that for me. if you're leaving and if it's on your calendar, nobody will mind that you're leaving. Now, the thing is, you're going to say, well, I have to get my work done, and I want them to be perceived that. I want them to perceive me that I might stay very, very late. The fact is, you will stay very, very late, and you're better at getting more stuff done by forcing yourself and not pouring out the, essentially letting the end of the day be unscheduled, which makes us sloppy and messy and so on.
And there's no section in today's cast on this topic, but I want to just really quick here, draw in the idea that nothing's changed about this guidance just because you might be working virtually now.
Oh, gosh, no.
Don't blame your technology or the fact that your office, your work is now in your house. Don't blame those things for what you may feel is an inability to go home at a reasonable hour. For years, I worked my condo, my desk was actually in the middle of a wide open space. I didn't even have walls. Now, I lived alone, lucky me. So there wasn't other distractions aside from maybe my cat occasionally. But my desk was in the middle of the room. And I still found a way every single night to get away from my desk, even though I walked by it constantly. I couldn't even navigate any other room in my house without seeing my work. And still simultaneously was able to ignore doing my work in the evening. You need to have the willpower to shut yourself off. You need to be able to say, you know what? No, I'm just not going to do that thing now.
Yeah. Now, if you're listening and you're a CEO, COO, head of coding, whatever, at a Silicon Valley startup, which we recently talked about and things we think that when you're hired, they issue you a mattress so that you can sleep at the office. Okay, different story, right? Yeah. And that may be in the news and popular, and it's less than 0.1% of the working
population. We can't create guidance for that.
No. This is for the vast majority of people who are living a normal life. And we're not suggesting that you're living you are living an abnormal life, but we honor you. We respect you. That's the choice you make. I get it. It's fine with that. That is not what we're trying to talk to here. We're trying to talk to the vast majority of people who have some idea of their priorities, and it includes family and family first.
Do you want to stand out at work this year? We don't blame you. Our Effective Communicator and Effective Manager conferences teach you how to influence others, deliver results, and navigate tough workplace challenges. Thousands of professionals have used these tools to grow their careers. See upcoming dates by visiting us online at manager-tools.com/training.
Thanks so much for joining us, folks. Join us again next week as we continue this topic. Now help us help others and tell your friends. And of course, follow, rate, and review our podcast. And remember, 5 stars only, please.